Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 22. Isaac sowed seed in that land, and in the same year reaped a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich. He prospered more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up the well with earth, all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of his father Abraham. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of his father Abraham. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herders of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herders, saying, "This water is ours." So he called the well Esek, because they contended with him there. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called it Sitnah. He moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. London, salvation is going to visit you in a new and a fresh way. Somebody say amen. LCC, I want to call you tonight before I commission you to dig again the wells of your fathers, to do the hard work of digging those wells again where they have been buried by contention, buried by enmity, buried by envy, buried by fear, buried by isolation, buried by other people's attacks. Tonight, before we dig a new well, we unearth those wells in the name of Jesus. There are wells in this house. There are wells in this city that are our spiritual inheritance. And tonight we unblock the wells. We unblock them in Jesus' name. And we will not be satisfied with the dust of a previous generation. We will dig until we see the fire of God come and rest upon us in the name of Jesus. We will not settle for trickles. We will dig until the river flows from this house into every street in London, into every borough in London. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Christ has not called us to settle. He has not called us to rest in this place. As I look back over the story of Kensington Temple, I see wells that have reached the nations. I see water that has flowed from this place to every continent of planet Earth. And I declare to you tonight in the name of Jesus that that water is flowing again. And it will flow to those that are dry and thirsty, those that are worn out, those that have no energy. God is in this house, and he is unearthing something tonight in the name of Jesus. Over the last months, many people have been sharing words with me about wells and pictures of wells, and I have been letting them sit. I'd be intending to write or do something about them in maybe 6 months or halfway through next year. But as we have been worshiping, I have felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Malcolm, can you feel your feet getting wet? Do you feel the water rising? Do you feel the water descending? Are you willing to give everything that the water of God might flow from this house into this city and into the nations of the earth?" London City Church Network, I am proud to be your apostolic leader. I am blessed by your ministry. I am encouraged by your faithfulness. You have stood the test. You have kept going. You have not given up. You have not thrown in the towel. Your presence here tonight is an indication that God has not finished with you yet. And yet many of you, I know, are here feeling like Haggai did. We're putting money in our pockets with holes in it. We have sown much and harvested little. We have given and labored. We have fought. We have done all that we can. And there is a handful of evidence of the grace of God. Despise not the day of small things, says the Lord. Because from the sprouts of what you have planted, there will flow much more. And in the name of Jesus, I want to encourage you to get back to those wells and to unblock them, to unblock the apostolic well in this house. The apostolic well of this house that breaks new ground for Jesus, that tries new things, that goes into new territories, that does things that have not been done by anybody else before, that isn't afraid to try in the name of Jesus. I unblock that well. To unblock the wells of legacy, that all that has been planted in this house might flow into the city and into the nations of planet Earth in the name of Jesus. I know many of you have heard me say this before, but I am so thankful that there are 126 nationalities in this church or thereabouts. But I want to see somebody from every nation of planet Earth in the Kensington Temple London City Church family. I believe God has asked me to pray for that. That's almost another 100 nations. Could God do it? I believe he can. I believe that sitting in this room tonight, there are a group of people who are willing to give everything that they can for the kingdom of God, to advance beyond anything that they have known previously. But don't expect it to be easy. Don't expect the denominations in London to celebrate us breaking the old wells open again. Don't expect them to say, that is such good news. Expect some to say, keep that well shut. This city is being swept by a gospel that is not the gospel. It's being swept by a gospel that says, you don't need to change. You don't need to repent. You don't need to come to Christ. You don't need to be discipled. You just do who you are. You do you and God will bless you anyway. Listen, that is not the gospel. The gospel that we must lift in this house is a gospel of the cross. It is a gospel of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is an announcement that there is a sin that has been, there is a sin that needs atoned for. There is a breach in our relationship with God, and Christ has fixed the breach. We must be bold in these days. We must not only unblock that well of apostolic anointing and ministry, but there is a discipleship well in this house that needs to be opened again and again and again to become deeper and deeper and deeper. Back in the early 1990s or the late 1980s, there was a prophecy over this house that we would be a discipleship-making center for the world. It is time to unblock that well and get serious about that again. To give ourselves to this task unremittingly. I am not afraid to ask you to make a deep commitment to the work of God through Kensington Temple, London City Church. I'm not asking you to be half-hearted. I'm not asking you to fit God in with your agenda or your diary. I'm asking that you will reorder your life around what God is doing in this house. That you will give yourself afresh to all that God has called us to do. There is a gospel well in this house. We have seen salvation in this house for decades and decades and decades. What is going on? Oh, you're making me cool. That is an impossible task, Esteban, but thank you for trying. There is a gospel well in this house. There's a well of influence into the public square in this house. There's a well of biblical preaching and teaching. We have a Bible school, which is a well in this house. We need to celebrate it and see it grow into a new season. You could not but have seen that there is a well of worship in KT. Over this last few days, our worship team, Pastor Sam and Pastor Rosemond and Jordan, have been to Birmingham with a whole range of people. They gathered with the Elam Sound Conference on Friday night as 500 worship leaders from across the nation gathered for a four-hour worship conference in Bern. We brought leaders from Romania and from France to be there at that conference, and they have been leading worship this weekend in this house. The French have gone home, they always leave early, but the Romanians are still here. Let's encourage them and thank them for their ministry amongst us. I am convinced that there is a well rising in this house of worship and praise and adoration. I love the fact that I can listen to Hillsong and I can listen to Elevation and I can listen to Jesus Image and I can listen to all of these other places. But listen, it's time for people to hear our sound. It's time for the sound of Kensington Temple London City Church to rise and people to hear the worship, because when you worship, this room changes. I have experienced it again and again and again. I'm not bigging you up, by the way. I'm just being honest. When you worship God, the atmosphere changes. When you open your hearts to God, it's like something that I have never experienced anywhere else on planet Earth. And I've been in some of the largest, biggest conferences and churches around the world, preaching and teaching. There's something different about what happens in this house. And it is time for us to lay hold of it and to dig it and to release it into the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't dig the new well until you've unblocked the old one. Don't spend all your energy on something new until we've done all that we can to redeem that which we've already had deposited in us. God trusted us with these things. He trusted us with the gospel. He trusted us with an apostolic mantle. He trusted us with leadership. He trusted us with discipleship. He trusts us with worship. And when he trusts you with something, he expects you to do something with it. We want to live in all of the blessing of this, but I hope you begin to sense the weight, Jesus, the weight of the responsibility of being in this house today. At 11:26 this morning in our 9 a.m. service, which went, no, in our 11 a.m. service. I don't even remember what service I was in. There have been too many services. Whatever time it was. What time was it? Well, none of you are helping, but it doesn't matter. I said, take a note of the time. Was it 12:26? Just making sure you were listening this morning. I said, take a note of the time and the date. Because God has released something here. Today is a day of releasing. It is the day of stepping into the next chapter of our life together. And we do so by celebrating all that God has done, but by laying hold of all that God has laid hold of us for. John Knox once cried, "Give me Scotland or I die." I pray that KT will be not just one man or one woman, but a generation that will say, "Give us London and the world or we will die." You see, there's something that I want you to catch here that isn't being talked about a lot in other places, but I think it's important and I think it's prophetic. I think we've gone past the days of the single anointed superstar in the church. I don't think God is interested in that. I don't mean that he doesn't anoint women and men. He does. But he wants to anoint a generation. He wants to anoint a generation. And I believe that God can place his hand on a whole church and that that can impact everybody in that network that wants to be impacted by it. And I believe that God is standing ready to pour out his anointing on anyone who will receive it tonight. Not on the one or the two, on all of us if we will receive it. But here is the deal. Before he gives it to you, he says, "What will you do with it? What will you do with what God gives you tonight?" Because I believe he's calling us to dig those wells again, to open those avenues, to declare his purposes. So don't say yes to this unless you mean it. I'm glad there's a seriousness in this moment. You don't play with the anointing. It's not an entertainment factory. You don't play fast and loose with the anointing of God, because this anointing will weigh upon you in the name of Jesus. And it will burn up sin. It will burn up guilt, and it will burn up shame. It will enable you, it will empower you, but it will consume all that is not right in your life. But listen, it will not consume you. When the fire of God came on that bush in Exodus, it didn't consume the bush. It burnt and sustained itself, but it didn't consume the bush. When the fire of God comes on us, the only thing it consumes is our sin. But that can be painful. It consumes our apathy. It consumes our half-heartedness. It consumes all of those excuses that we have for not serving God. Winston Churchill just once described an excuse as the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. When the fire of God comes, it consumes everything that is ungodly in us. It purifies us. And I believe that God's presence is here tonight, ready to consume everything that is in irrelevance. Some conversations need to stop. Some revisiting of old stories need to stop. Some accusations need to stop. They need to be burned by the fire of the mercy and the anointing of God. Some reasons for why we haven't progressed, they need to stop in the name of Jesus, and we need to set our shoulders to what God is calling us to do, to press into all that God has for us. I don't know about you, but when I listen to politicians, I give them a little bit of time. For the first year and a half, they can blame the previous lot. But around about 18 months, I'm like, okay, stop blaming them. You've been in power for 18 months now. Do something. Listen, I know all that we've been through, but today we have turned a corner. So let's press into what God has for us. Amen. Let's press forward with what God has for us. Let's take hold of what God is calling us to. Let's give ourselves to it. And may the anointing of God consume you. May the power of God rise upon you. And let's dig our Rehoboth. The Lord has made room for us. I am praying. Maybe one of you can help. Maybe you're a secret supermarket owner and I don't know. I am praying for a shopping center close to this building. One that will enable us to seat 4,000 or 5,000 people, and that will have all of the facilities that are required for offices and youth work and discipleship centers and a training school and everything that we need. I don't believe that God wants us to live in the confinement of never having enough space. Does anybody else agree with that? Yes. Years and years and years and years and years of being able to manage double services, treble services, this service, that service, toilets that stink to high heaven. Facilities that need to be redone. I love this building. I am grateful to God for it. But it is time for us, I said to Solomon earlier on today, we need a bigger boat. I see many network churches here. You have struggled for buildings for decades. Decades. meeting in this hall and that hall, renting here, renting there, putting up with being moved from pillar to post, not being able to find somewhere, going into one building, out a few months later, into another building, out a few months later. Listen, it's time for us to have a Rehoboth. We need the Lord to make room for us. And I'm calling you to set your mind to it. So if you own a supermarket, if you own a shopping center, Westfield is a bit big, just for the moment. But we need to pray some of these things in. We need to stand in the gap for them and say, Lord, we are holding out for this. We are trusting you. We need a working group in this church that will start looking for buildings tomorrow. And we'll keep looking for them. We need men and women who will put their shoulders to the plow with vision. People who will start businesses, who will become entrepreneurs, who will have dreams about what we can do. We don't need to rely on charity every single week. We don't need to rely on people having to do this and do that. We don't need to rob Peter to pay Paul. My God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The silver is his and the gold is his and he will provide. Maybe you don't believe me. Maybe you think I'm just being hyperbolic. I believe that God has everything that we need for this season and that he is asking us to receive it in the name of Jesus and to step into it in the name of Jesus.